PTP episode 036, where we're going to sit here and talk about the mythical world of Harry Potter.
Harry Potter?
Sorry. You're a wizard, Harry.
That song is so haunting.
It really is. Curse you. Especially when you whistle it.
Exactly. Oh.
Curse you, John Williams.
Was it really John Williams?
Yeah, I was surprised.
John
I was like, really?
John Williams was God, John Williams was so awesome.
I know.
He?
God.
Him and Hans Zimmer are great.
Truly.
Yeah. Hans Zimmer was awesome. Oh, well. But John Williams is a completely different
awesome. He's a different
awesome. Fair enough. Man. He's up there with Nobuo Uematsu.
Oh, wow. Sorry, for Final Fantasy? Yes. Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, so I'm Andy Williams, and I'm sitting here with your normal PCB cast. Mark Felton, Gryffindor student.
Yeah, 10 points for Gryffindor.
Nah, you do my joke.
Of course.
Yes, thank you.
Bravery. Thank you. The same thing.
Indeed.
And lack of complete recklessness of probably getting killed.
Sounds about right.
Joey Polius, Southern House, he just doesn't give a fuck.
Damn it. I want to be Ravenclaw, but all right.
Josiah Bradley.
Everyone.
Hufflepuff.
Everyone.
Oh, no.
No.
They like chicken.
There's nothing
wrong. Hufflepuff likes Hufflepuff.
There's nothing wrong with Hufflepuff. Hufflepuff are our friends.
Everyone turn to page 394.
I don't get that reference. Anyway.
It's Snape.
Oh, yeah. Ravenclaw.
Do you see what he just...
Wait, so what's that?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joby. I'm sorry. I'm totally stealing you.
Harry.
I'm just saying. You think you know too much.
I think. Therefore, I am.
I'm in Gryffindor House. I'm awesome.
God damn it.
At least I'm not a ginger.
Dirty
I have no problem with gingers. I love y'all.
I smanged Hermione.
No, you did not.
You called me a ginger, therefore I smanged Hermione.
Not yet.
If you're in Gryffindor House now, Hermione's in her 40s.
I know.
Ew.
That's weird.
Let's say that might not be that bad because Emma Watson is fly high.
She still might be fine when she's 40.
we'll talk about
let's
that.
Wait that out.
Lay her down.
We'll talk about that. So yeah, we're sitting here. We're going to talk about Harry Potter. Joey, plug the show.
Oh, yeah.
What? I had a question mark at the end of the last episode.
Plug the
That's
show?
Your name?
Upward inflection.
Hey, guys, what's up? We got a Tumblr. It's called PCBLoversAnonymous.tumblr.com. We're also on the iTunes.
The iTunes.
got an email, so you can definitely contact us at WeLovePCB@yahoo.com. Mm-hmm. I recommend it. We like hearing mail, hate mail, love mail, black mail, white mail.
Females.
Especially females.
I do.
There you go.
We have a Facebook page, Pop Culture Podcast. Like us, then unlike us, and then like us again, but we'll find you. We also have a Twitter, which we occasionally update with random shenanigans.
Or your thigh update in the middle of the podcast.
In the middle of a podcast. He's probably doing it right now!
Spelling Randy Orton wrong and everything.
Randy Horton, like Horton Hears a Who? Wrong!
That's true.
Talking about childbearing.
So, wow. We're gonna go ahead and just jump into this thing.
You've been plugged.
So we're gonna talk about the magical world of Harry Potter, specifically because the week this podcast will be coming out is the week that the last of the Harry Potter film series.
It's the end of my childhood.
Will come out. And
Harry Potter. Harry Potter.
Oh,
and
I can resist.
This is essentially an end of an era for young.
It really is.
Young.
Yep.
We'll talk about this later. With young people. Because specifically,
Harry Potter is the new Star Wars.
It is.
This
generation. Oh, word. Very true.
Very true.
Yeah.
Speaking of something that Star Wars couldn't do, maintain a film franchise over three movies.
Because then those other three we shall not speak of.
Everyone knows.
That's happening. You keep the same director on about six movies.
Well, he was the producer for those first three.
Well, yeah, he directed the first.
He directed the third one.
Empire Strikes Back was not George Lucas.
This is Lucas.
Uncalled for. Uncalled.
Wow.
He does look like Hank Hill in the neck.
Oh my god. That's
sucking.
Anyway, so we all know.
Oh, no.
We don't know. J.K. Rowling.
Now you know.
Writer.
Who's that?
Well, he's the thing. He wasn't really known for anything before Harry Potter.
She was just a normal person, Myers pretty books. Much, yeah.
Well, she was poor. I mean, that's the...
Okay, yeah. That's the popular understanding.
That's the way they sell it.
The robot chicken joke, she was rummaging through trash.
Yeah, no, not really. It's still, like...
What?
In 1990, she was a young writer, a right. struggling yeah. young writer.
Yeah.
Well, not
as they all are.
And
she's limitless.
She was on a crowded train, and the idea of Harry Potter came into her.
Popped into her head.
Yeah, exactly.
Epiphany.
That's one hell of an epiphany.
Alright.
Yeah, seriously, Jesus.
Essentially, like, she thought while she was on this train ride, she put the entirety of Harry Potter was like brought was like conceived in her during this train ride. Like the broad strokes of what she wanted to do with the story. But after right. that, when she
No, I was agreeing. Yeah. Go ahead.
So after yeah. that, she moved on and she started writing it. And the first book was released in, I want to say, 1996.
Yeah.
Mid-90s, that one.
Yeah. Mid-90s. Yeah.
The
Dude.
Fact that it's been out for that long.
What's funny is, like, it was released in the UK as Harry Potter and
Philosopher's Stone.
Huh. But it didn't come to America until 1997, yeah. where it became Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Mm-hmm. And from there, it slowly built momentum till by the fourth book in the series, Harry Potter had become the juggernaut of the young book. I want to say young adult.
I'm
books.
The juggernaut, bitch.
I like cool juggernaut.
Books were cool again.
My yeah. favorite
yeah.
Dude, and I read the fourth book in one day. It was the best headache ever.
Oh, God, it's amazing. Yeah. We'll talk about that. So, we're not going to talk about the books yet, because when we talk about the books, we want to juxtapose those to the movies.
Yeah.
Right, and do a better comparison. But for now, we're going to sort of... we're going to talk about the world itself in yeah. Harry Potter.
You guys want to kind of just briefly talk about like how you guys got into Harry Potter? Or
did
you...
Interesting,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, that's a good idea. For me itself, the book came out in 1997, so I was 8.
Yeah.
Wow.
God.
You guys, we are in our 20s.
That's scary.
Oh, God, I'm going to be 22 in less than a week.
That's so weird.
4 weeks. So, I was probably 10. I was 9. So I went to daycare, and I was really close with the caretaker of the daycare, to the point where she would like go out of her way and buy stuff for me. Not in a creepy creepy
was she your
way.
The damage has been done.
I was a really well natured kid, so adults tended to like me a lot.
Gotcha.
We were then baby kids running around. Avery, go lie down for nap time. Bitch, fuck you, ain't doing shit. You ain't my real mama.
I was a problem. I was one of their favorites. And so, back at that time, I was really into reading. I was really into reading. So, one day, Harry Potter was still grassroots at this point.
Yeah.
It still hadn't, like, blew up.
It's word of mouth.
But, yeah, she heard of it through word of mouth, and she had gotten one of the books, the second one, Chamber of Secrets.
Chamber of Secrets.
And he gave it to me, and I was reading it on the playground. Like, rather than play with my friends, I was sitting there reading Harry Potter on the playground.
Hey, come play dodgeball. What the fuck, you guys?
And I was like, this is really cool. But I have no context for anything. I started at the second book.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was really confused reading this book. So I went to my mom, and I'm like, can I go get the rest of these books? And I'm like, my parents didn't do anything for me. So like, we can go to the library and go get them. Okay, yeah. And so from there...
Awesome.
So from there, I was like, yeah, I read the first one, third one, fourth one, and then like that's when I was caught up and Harry Potter hit that zeitgeist. I remember, I think it was like the end of middle school, like the sixth or seventh or fifth book. That book came out, and I was the only person in my class without it, and I felt real dirty.
You don't have Harry Potter?
I looked at my mom. I'm like,
what are you new?
Dirty bitch.
Man, Mom, I hate you.
And then I remember, I remember when the last book came out, and I was like, it was like the day of my, my niece's birthday, and we were all supposed to go to her house and celebrate. And I'm like, hey, Mom, can we go to the mall so I can go buy Harry Potter? Like, at this point, my mom's like, shouldn't you have outgrown that? I'm like,
nah.
Bitch, get in the car.
Bitch, get in my car.
Oh, man.
No. I went to the car, I bought the book, and rather than mingle with my family and build lasting relationships, I sat down in the corner of the room and read Harry Potter.
Damn.
And it was one of those things where I was so engrossed by that book, I did nothing for a good 12 hours.
Yep.
So yeah, I like how you said instead of building lasting human relationships.
Fuck you guys. Oh, Avery, we love you. I mean, the same thing happened to me. I was like over at a friend's house, like newer, like literally grew up with her, like Sandbox, and her mom. And my mom like left me there with her like one day, and she's like reading Harry Potter, and I was like, what is that? I didn't know what it was. Like, they got me Harry Potter for Christmas. I read the entire, like, the first book in 2 days.
Well, it's like, one of the great things I liked about the Harry Potter series is so how it grew with the people reading
it. It did.
That the first book is really easy to read.
Yeah, it is.
It's relatively short for the franchise, and it's breezy to go through.
Right, I realized like right around like the fourth book, it was like right when you were reaching the fourth like, book middle school, like, high school. Like, it was really dark.
I'm writing encyclopedias now.
Yeah, it's kind of it was dark, like heavier, like and she really knew how to cater to the audience. Yeah. Like,
these are the kind of reasons you want like not brief constructive responses for. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Extended responses.
And
yeah.
And I think like I got so engrossed in it because I'm kind of like not many people know like Greek mythology, Roman mythology, Norse mythology. I love all that kind of mythology. Yeah,
right.
So reading all that shit and seeing like like the Griffin or like
love Griffins.
The
greatest thing about Harry Potter and something a lot of people who are detractors of it don't really get is the fact that J.K. Rowling, her imagination is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like it's she can describe a mythical beast to you, and you'll be like, "Oh, it's like I've seen this."
It's like forcing you to visually imagine a lot of the things.
She forces you to use your imagination. Not many people can do that anymore. Like everything's TV, YouTube, all that shit.
About Harry Potter is like there was a certain period of time, especially when I got to high school, where reading books became
a chore.
Yeah,
no longer as fun as it used to be. Harry Potter was still consistent with the same. A book I consistently read.
Pick up and read and enjoy. Enjoy it. So, yeah. I mean, and then reading all later, like when I got the fourth book, I read that the entire day. It was the best headache ever. My mom woke me up at like 9 in the morning. She's like, here, I've got it. She's looking up. She had it on reserve. But gave it to me. Like I spent like, I think the entire day in my room.
That's one of the biggest problems of Harry Potter. I think when your first, like, your first time reading the book, like when the book... When you, like, you start to count those last pages.
You OD a little bit.
Oh no! It's gonna be and then no, I would go back afterwards, like after like just reading through it and like really sit and like try to absorb everything, and then like the little books.
My ritual was read up to that series to that point, then read the book, then reread everything again to that point.
Dang.
Then I decided like do the little side books. Like she released a creature book things. The one with the creatures, like she describes like the manticore, all this stuff, like.
And then I guess with Marcus and Chagall, you all got introduced to the franchise through the movies.
Yeah, I feel like such a herb for saying that.
You kind of are. No, I'm joking.
I'm a lot more of a I have a big imagination, but I'm a lot more of a visual person, and I've loved movies since I was a child, so. I haven't really been as big into books as a lot of people probably think I should have been, but I've always learned more from movies, and so I heard a lot about Harry Potter, but I never usually had the opportunity. Like, when I was a kid, I would go look for it in the library, but it was always sold out because it was so popular.
Very
and
true.
I wasn't working, so I didn't have the money to get, the books in most cases. So when the movies came out, I followed a lot through that. And I've watched the movies, and that's how I got a lot, and also from hearing a lot of things from Avery or Jovi or people like that, that's how I've got my knowledge on Harry Potter.
It's actually funny considering what you just said, because I've always, anyone who knows me, I'm a huge bookworm anyway. I'm always reading, but I actually...
Instead of golfing.
When I'm not golfing or reading about golf.
Or golfing while reading.
Or golfing while reading or reading while golfing. You remember that kid that show Zoom?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh wow.
I guess the second season or whatever. For anyone who remembers the Asian kid, the cool Asian kid, what? Kenny.
Yeah.
The cool Asian.
well, all Asians are in.
I'm talking about
on public television. Yeah.
You didn't have to be. You didn't have to be. You didn't have anyway. Kenny, that when he was talking, I don't remember what year that was. They were talking about something about books, and he brought up Harry Potter, And he started off actually saying, y'all know those Wizard Boy books? What are they?
Wizard
Harry,
Boy?
Harry Potter. It's like he knew what he was talking about, but he was like setting it up. And I was like, I've never
Wizard
heard of these
Boy?
Books. And like, Harry, and that's how I heard about Harry Potter. And then, but I never, the thing is, I've never, as all the time I spent in the libraries and things like that, I never saw the books. And then when the movies came out, I was like, that sounds like that character or whatever that they were talking about on the show. So I was actually more interested in seeing the movies.
I nearly bought, like, I have all the books.
Of course.
I have them all the books. I have all the books. I think I have them all closed paperback. I
have one. I have the third one, in the British one of the
I have
one
all
too.
In oh, wow, my tape tight. Version. That's and cool. Then the I saw it on the internet.
Yeah,
and I nearly bought it. A trunk full of Harry Potter novels.
Good God.
Like, it was just like a, I don't know why. I just, it's,
you're a compulsive spender.
I am. Sure.
Yeah, okay, incidentally for me, I was an avid reader also, and
well, actually, I'm the only one here that does
well, I mean,
that's right. No.
I can't. Yeah,
it's except whatever. For Audi.
Oh.
Damn.
And we're back to this. And like, but much like Josiah, I guess like, it, while I was also an avid reader, incidentally, while you were kind of like introduced to it through Zoom, I was an avid reader through like kind of like, I guess Wishbone kind of made me read every episode.
Oh,
every,
yeah.
Every time
that was
had
my
episode,
show too.
I would
yeah.
read that. So I had a lot of books that I was kind of on, stacked, okay. stacked on top of. And then I was still going through that by the time people were like going through the Harry Potter books. I was like, oh, these seem popular. I wasn't particularly interested because, well, you know, I've got plenty of books to read. I'll get
sure,
to it later.
Sure.
And eventually I just got like, you know, once they started doing the movies, I'm like, oh, I'll get to it later. And then I just came to where like, huh, well, all the movies, are, all these, the books are done and the movies are still coming out. And like, kind of missed the window on this one. So I just kind of, basically I kind of just played it off like,
well,
it's like the way I was with Star Wars, where I hadn't seen any of the movies.
Well, yeah, with us with Star Wars, like, didn't the first movie come out when we were being conceived?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You weren't even a thought.
No, we were, they came out after, long after like that. But it's like, for me, it's just like, well, I can kind of fake my way through it. Like, I can fake my way through a conversation on Star Wars, because I just learned everything about it through osmosis. I'm like, oh, I can pick up here and there, the references, you know. And that's what I kind of did with Harry Potter. I'm like, oh yeah, I know that. And it's like, and yeah. Oh, you mean like when they did, like that. I was kind of, I could fake my way through it.
Okay.
Basically. Yeah. So eventually there's a point in which you guys found out about it and I had to convince, I'm dirty. I've never seen any of the movies, never read any of the books, nothing personal. I think they're great for what they are.
How much of our conversations in life have you faked?
Every single one.
Damn, were you at my soccer game?
I don't watch wrestling. Let's
me
see.
Neither.
Video games, I'm like, Josiah, we're
yeah.
the same boat.
Then can I have your PS3?
Transformers 3? I did not a chance. I've never seen any of the movies. Nah, but I was
you
able to,
son of a bitch.
Yeah, I was able to fake my way through, but like then Avery bestowed upon me the Blu-rays of the prior films.
Mm. First five.
Yep, first five.
I got number six.
Yeah, I managed to find number six.
Yeah.
And so I watched all six on Thursday.
Good God. What?
Yeah, I had to set it. I said because I had a lot of work to do this past weekend. I just had to like just all right. I'll set this day aside for it.
Steamroll it.
You are better than me.
And unfortunately, it was probably a bad idea because that's how I watched Star Wars the first time. I watched all of them in succession.
You burnt out like that.
Yeah, I was burnt out. I was like, I seen everything. I was like, I didn't really retain much, but everything I knew that I picked up from before. All right, I've got this now, and I know which ones my favorite, which ones I think were lacking. I'm just like, wow. It's so I get this world.
I got thoughts.
Yeah, I got this, I see this world. So I'm like, now that I've seen them all, I'll be going into, you know.
Funny thing is, I haven't seen the first one yet. I just got on
what?
Redbox. Because it's funny.
Blockbuster,
what's that?
Because
you started off reading Chamber of Secrets. That's where I started in the film series. And I can't seem to find.
Why did everybody start for number two?
I mean, I thought it was kind of cool because, I mean, oh, I was. Guys. I kind of felt filled in, especially since I didn't read them.
Well,
everything
you
know, I know, I read on Wikipedia.
JK is a writer, she does a good job of, to a certain extent, filling you in the beginning of every book.
Yeah.
You're not making it long and drawn out.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
What happened? And the movies did that to a certain
what, I can say this for, like, definitely how those port one. I can tell, like, if you hadn't kept up with them now, you're SOL.
We're going to talk about
that. But we'll get to that later on. But
so
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so that's our experience with Harry Potter. But let's sort of jump into
what
the franchise itself and talk about the titular character. But first, I want to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
let's talk about Harry Potter as a character. Uh-huh. Simply because he is the main character. The series is named after him.
Well, he's the boy that lived.
Yeah.
I thought it was about Hermione.
That would be interesting.
God, Emma. Emma Hodson.
It'll probably get annoying real fast.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed.
So,
Well, Emma Hodson, not whether she'd be annoying, I don't know.
Ooh, we'll talk about that.
You just call her Emma Hodson?
Yeah, call her Emma Hodson.
Actually, I quoted Jovington.
Oh,
yeah.
Sir Jovington. Apologies, my lord.
Yes. So, anyway, yeah, so let's talk about Harry.
Harry's getting pretty old.
Damn. That was the problem filming.
Sir Radcliffe?
Yeah.
You mean Harold Potter?
Harold?
Sir Daniel Radcliffe. Harold Potter. Yeah. Harry Potter is a character. It's been portrayed in the Harry Potter film franchise as by Daniel Radcliffe.
Yes. Very capably, might I
say. And let's start,
I would say.
Yeah, to a certain extent, despite some really bad haircuts.
I mean,
leave him alone.
Are you talking about the bowl cut?
That was a business cut.
The haircut he got in the fifth movie.
Oh, yeah.
Where are the
that's my favorite of the films.
He's like, we'll talk about that.
That is a business cut.
Well, that's the problem with it.
He's growing up. He's
a teenager. Like, when they all have it in the fourth. We're
deviating.
We're off track completely.
I'm sorry.
Harry Potter, the character.
Oh, yeah, like,
James Potter.
Son of James and Lily Potter.
Lily Potter, the main character of pretty much the central character in all the events that go on. Like,
yep.
Everything, every character they're deduced has some tie. Every concept has some tie directly into Harry himself.
Right. In some ways, literally has a tie.
Yeah. He's the knot in the string of fate.
Yeah. It's written from third person, though.
Yeah, it's written from a third person perspective, but the book, more often than not, will always follow Harry.
Okay.
Every once in a while, they'll give, like the beginning of every chapter, they'll always flash to, like, some other character's perspective, but the book always follows from his perspective.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Harry the character, well, he's the origin of the character in that one day this villain, Lord Voldemort, who we'll talk about more in detail later.
He who shall not be named.
Attacks his family under the advice of this obscure prophecy. And in doing so, marks Harry for life with the lightning bolt scar that he becomes sort of famous for, when they sort of downplay, especially in the movies.
Yeah.
And it's basically because he tried to use the
killing curse.
He
tried to use the killing curse on the
by the power of love.
Who had been protected by the sacrifice of love. And in doing so, he turned Harry into this larger-than-life character in the magical world, which is, I've always found it interesting on how he sort of grew and matured as a character,
right.
Because he was raised by the Dursleys, a group of people,
Muggles.
Non-magical people who...
Muggles are mortals, I guess.
Fucking Muggles.
Yeah, it's a very popular term now.
Yeah. How are your parents friends with these people?
Petunia was Lily's sister.
Lily's older sister, and that's where the connection comes from.
Yeah.
And how do you treat your... Anyway.
Well, the books go into detail.
The books go into real good detail about that. Like,
so it makes more
goes really wrong. Deep into
the
it.
The movies tend to ignore that completely. But so ended up, he stayed with the Dursleys, who, by their very, very stodgy British nature, don't like magic. And so they try to...
They don't like different people.
It's not even different people. It's specifically magic. Like, they're upper crust, like, look down at people. But, like, the idea of magic is, like, the idea of gypsies to them.
Also racist.
Ah, I gotcha.
It's kind of racist.
They are racist.
And so, they go out of their way to sort of stop magic out of Harry. They mistreat him. He lives in a cupboard
under the stairs. Was he a fucking monster?
Yeah. Right.
But at the end of the day, he's still a good boy.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, despite all this hatred, he could have easily become some sort of bully. But he came out of this like no one likes me, no one cares about me, but I am who I am. That's
who I am.
Yeah, that's sort of like the mostly defining characteristic. No matter what adversity comes to hit him,
he
stays true to himself and like his own sort of morality and virtue.
Yep.
And as a character, because the book focuses primarily on him, he's completely third dimensional, which at the end of the book series makes him a polarizing character. We've talked about this off podcast, but like there are
by the end, he's not even third dimensional. He's like He's flesh and blood to you.
Out. He's a real person.
Yeah.
You close your eyes and you say Harry Potter, and someone immediately pops into your head.
He's a messiah character, but he's a messiah character with faults.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, so like,
he's human.
Yeah, he's human.
Yeah.
And like, weird. There are literally parts in the books where he stalks Draco Malfoy, convinced that he's evil and doing something evil.
That disturbed the mess out of me when you told me.
Ended up being true, but the way he goes about
it made him
so
just almost
like
just as bad.
Exactly.
Paranoid, crazy.
It's fighting fire with fire.
I know she knows.
That's one of the reasons why I felt like knowing that it's really hard to put that on screen sometimes.
Well, yeah, because the great thing about Perry is he's not perfect. And, like, even after he comes to the magical world and all these characters start putting their views and hopes and dreams upon him, he still doesn't change.
Yeah.
Like, because he's been deprived of what... That's actually the master stroke in his being raised. Because he's been deprived of a family who loved him his entire life.
Traditional family.
Like, the bonds he forms with people are stronger than blood.
Right.
That's very true.
And, like, when he starts meeting his friends, it's like... Especially when he starts... get involved with the Weasley family.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just like
yeah.
the sense of warmth and unity in that family.
He never wants to leave. Like, yeah, he actually goes into a depression when he has to leave them.
Yeah, there's that scene in like I'll go to the movie where like he goes to the Ron's house, the Burrow, and Ron is convinced that his house is a death trap.
Yeah.
But Harry goes in and it's like there's pictures of the people on the walls.
Yeah.
Lived in. Everyone seems to care about each
other. His eyes are
like,
wide and it's like
it's perfect.
Huh.
He literally lights up like it's Christmas and Ron's like the fuck, it's a hovel.
It's more powerful than any magic could be.
And like I talked with Marcus about this, is that he came to me as someone who watched the Harry Potter movie and told me like Harry Potter's gonna be like this a coming of age story. And that's true in a sense, but I really feel that Harry Potter is especially with the way the books are written.
It's almost growing up and facing the world.
It's a loss of innocence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that like as Harry grows and like he's got this innocent, naive, trusting persona.
Yeah.
Adversity after adversity chips away at that, but at the end of the day, he still stays himself.
You see it in the way the films
are
portrayed. It starts all bright and nice. They use the warm colors. You can see it in the film.
Like the first movie is very warm, colors, but
oranges and yellows,
got rid of those bright colors,
greens,
really
blues,
and by the
grays.
Third movie, they got rid of completely the Harry Potter gold text and replaced it with a silver.
By the time
if you look at the title, it's a rusted.
In gray.
Yeah. Rusted color. It's breaking down.
Well,
it's falling apart. It's
like,
what Harry Potter
is. I definitely agree about the loss of innocence and everything, but in a way that does come through the coming of age.
Yeah.
Right. It is a lot of it is like...
That's
like,
life.
Like, a lot
That's
of the stuff is like
yeah.
the, like dealing with like being an adult and like going through puberty and like you have to deal with... Like,
the only funny thing about Harry Potter is that like the way he sort of starts to act... Is that he gets mature really quickly in these books in the book franchise,
right?
But really,
and you sort of forget that like he's only 17 at this point in the book.
The funny thing about it is that the experiences, like the things he experiences, forces him
to
really mature
up, right.
so quickly.
Yeah,
I mean,
he had friends die in front of him.
Yeah,
like
he's
honestly,
lost people.
Yeah.
And
of course, like you know, Thorne, you know, love potion spells at each other. That's probably not gonna help you.
And you know, having a Cretaceous curse bounced off of you a couple of times is gonna suck.
Yeah, a little bit.
Josiah and I were talking about that, and like. It really is, like, if you stripped away the elements of, you know, wizardry and everything about this, this movie could be translated into
high school
movie.
That's where the franchise itself sort of grabs people's hearts. Because, like, when people started reading it, it was built as a book for kids.
Yeah.
But then...
The books, the characters, everything grew with you.
He grew with the people to the point where, like, the last book came out when I was 17 years old. So when we graduated,
that's madness.
Exactly the last. So
that's
Harry
madness.
Was 17 at that point.
He's graduating.
Yeah, I grew up with him.
That's like it's
trippy, right?
That's what makes
he
what
was
makes,
a friend.
That's what makes Harry Potter so special is because
he's our
there were yeah exactly there are almost no stories that I can recall
the
where
books of Tom Riddle's
they,
diary.
They literally they literally
kill it.
Follow you to the point that. It's weird that you were the same age as he is when the book ends. It's strange.
For us.
And you'll read the things and you'll be like, yeah, I've kind of experienced this.
It's one thing that made me feel like Harry Potter as a book was made for me.
Yeah. And even with the movies, the actors are about our age in the movies.
Well, I'm actually older than Daniel Radcliffe.
But like, they're our age. They're around our age.
Like,
and like, that doesn't happen often.
No.
It's a trip when you're a little kid, because like, when you're a little kid, it's like, they're only like the little kid movies that you can really relate with. But this is like, a big deal.
Yeah, something that
Harry Potter's timeless in a sense.
We'll make a comparison later on that it trumps a lot of these other attempts to build franchises.
Yeah, but that's the Harry Potter character. I mean,
I don't know. J.K. Rowling can really write a book that can establish a relationship with someone. You establish a relationship with a character that doesn't exist.
Like, that's undeniable.
Yeah.
I thought that came
through. It's one of the things where, like, let's move on and talk about the characters. Stephen King.
Whoops.
There we go.
Pointed out at the end of the fifth book
that
the villain in that book is something. It's probably one of the greatest villains ever made. This is coming from Stephen King, known for writing
about villains.
Some
of the greatest fiction ever, and just god awful people. But let's jump in. We talked about
Shining.
Oh jeez.
We talked about Harry the character.
Red Rum.
As the books sort of point out and grow, Harry the character is sort of, I want to say represented closely by the friends he makes.
Yeah,
definitely. And so we're going to jump in and talk about some of the other characters of the Harry Potter world. Specifically, Harry's two best friends, Ron Weasley and Hermione Granger. Now, I didn't know Hermione's name was Hermione until the movies came out.
Neither did I.
Yeah, what do you think it was? Hermione?
Hermione.
Hermones.
I guess Hermione was a name no one ever wanted to pronounce.
Ever.
In front of people.
Honestly, that's one of those names that I feel like no one has.
With J.K. Rowling named her after someone she knew.
But it's like, it just doesn't seem like a name that anyone has. Like, my mom's name is Vonji, and I'm like, no one has that name except for you.
Is no one else named Jovi, though?
Don't
say Bon Jovi. That nigga doesn't count.
No, because
his name is spelled without the H.
Yeah, exactly.
Motherfucker.
So, like, it's an original name.
I don't even think that's his real name.
Yeah.
Nigga in your face.
Yeah, so we'll talk about Ron and Hermione.
John Bovey, probably.
Because Ron and Hermione as characters have been with Harry from the inception of the character, they themselves have grown to become three-dimensional characters.
Indeed.
And it's not odd for a Harry Potter fan to come out and say that Harry and Ron and Hermione are their least favorite characters. because like, they're the most human, they have the most faults, so they're the easiest to pick apart and complain
about.
That
is true. I hate Hermione, she's always stuck up. I hate Ron because he's such a bitch.
Okay, here's the thing. At the end of the seventh book, I despise Hermione.
Really?
Yeah. Because, like...
Is that kind of a popular stance?
Ooh, we're talking about that. I gotta stop saying that.
Will we?
No.
No, we will. We will. Go ahead.
Their characters in that set, Hermione is that...
The brainy one.
Yeah, Hermione sort of connects with me in that she's a muggle-born witch. Her parents are both normal people, but
opposite of Harry's adopted parents, though, because they're supportive.
Yeah, and she's sort of introduced to this world of magic, and rather than just sort of, I guess, with Harry who goes in with sort of the bare minimum unless prompted to, she goes in and overachieves to a frightening degree.
One of those.
She's the greatest witch of her age.
To the point where, like, she takes so many classes that she needs time travel to do everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's that overachiever.
Leet hacks.
While Ron is a character who's grown up in the magical world.
And he's
so
just
is completely mundane to him.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So he treats magical education
takes it for
like
granted.
Normal people treat normal
regular
school.
Education.
Yeah. Like,
man.
Sucks.
It's like, oh,
let's go to... Let's go to class, man. Fuck class.
I don't like flying today, man.
And like Ron's more like his sort of defining characteristic is that he's sort of the and Hermione sort of carries sort of tech support in a sense. So, Ron is that sort of plucky comic relief.
Yeah,
and that's how they originally started out.
And Ginger.
And what kind of know Ron's character is he has absolutely Ron's character has absolutely no tact. Like,
right.
He immediately blurts out whatever thought is in his head.
He's got
her hair looks like a Brillo pad.
So it's me.
Yeah.
And like Ron's character in the movies is played by Rupert Grint, and Hermione is played by Emma Hodson as Josiah has dubbed her.
Well, as his lordship has dubbed her.
Yes.
Actually.
Yes.
And
people really responded well to Ron, though. Didn't he have his own... Rupert Grint. Doesn't he have his own fan club?
He has a crucial fan club.
Like, people responded to everybody.
Everybody has a fan.
Those three characters, those three actors, Dan, Emma, and Rupert, have sort of developed this...
Malfoy, actually.
Rupert,
out of all of them, is probably the most successful outside of Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's
true. Because he's been in other movies.
Yeah.
Yes. And Emma, we'll talk briefly about her later on. I guess,
she left Brown.
That was really unfortunate.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. That's really sad.
I do like that. I did like that one incident where it's just like apparently she answered a question.
She answered Griffin, and some kid in the guys goes, 10 points to Gryffindor.
And that was
that kid probably thought that.
He was holding that back.
He probably thought she was going to think that was cute.
But she probably did.
Yeah. And everybody's like, he probably did.
Let's jump back to Star Wars. Remember Jake Lloyd from The Phantom Menace?
Yeah.
I've heard stories that as an adult,
he is beat up.
He regrets tremendously being Anakin Skywalker because, like, no one will leave him alone about it.
Right.
Well, also because he sucked.
I don't blame him.
Wait,
young Anakin or old Anakin? Like, mid-age Anakin, like.
No,
just because he's a child actor doesn't mean he's going to suck.
I mean, unfortunately, most child actors are pretty bad.
Because they're children.
Yeah, did you see Little Rascals?
They were awesome.
They were awesome because you were six when you saw them.
And you just wanted to go
for it. I can relate! I just wet my pants. Yeah.
Back to Ron and Hermione as characters. They sort of follow Harry because they're his two closest friends. He develops a larger circle of friends as the franchise progresses.
Mainly, those are his two constants.
To the point where, like, at the end of the sixth book, he decides I'm gonna walk to the sunset like Kane and go on pilgrimage.
Yeah.
They actively stay, and their bond becomes so strong they're like not going without us.
Yeah.
Like from the first, like they even say like from the minute we met. We knew it was just going to be the three of us to the end.
Yeah.
And
like...
And Neville's in the background crying.
That's sad.
Longbottom. Yeah, and like
so no sad. Friends for Neville.
That's so sad.
Of the three of them...
Got a long bottom.
of the three of them, I respond the most... Like, standpoint of like relating to a character, I can sort of relate to Hermione because if I was brought to the magical world... I'd probably be as mystified as she was, as overachieving as he was. Exactly.
The overachiever thing that they did early on with it really did kind of work. It's just like,
the curiosity of the fact that it's such a new situation, you don't really know, like, oh man.
Because Harry's just being introduced to this, so he's like, oh, okay, so this guy.
Harry's completely nonchalant about everything he learns new. Like, Hermione's like, I already knew that because I read it like two months ago.
Fuck you, bitch!
Like, Hermione's that one person in the class.
I time traveled and saw it.
Hermione's the one person in the class that, like, always raises their hand.
They even joke about that towards the end of the book where, like, someone will ask her a question. Even if, like, someone they don't want her to answer the question, she will immediately answer. Because it's so ingrained in her to answer anyone's question.
She's like, she just turns to Taj Mowry, basically. He's a smart guy. Yeah. So, yeah.
So, and then, like, but from a character, from the three of them, I preferred Ron the most. Because he was essentially the most, because he said whatever he was thinking, he was the most honest of the three. Mm-hmm. And as a character.
You and that parent, you're dead!
I was waiting for someone to say
you.
That.
And then
I wish you would just go, my parents are dead!
And then Harry turned into Batman.
I had the knife.
That's going to be a joke forever.
Vengeance.
Yeah.
So, where's the pumpkin juice? I'm sorry.
Yeah. You guys?
I'm sorry.
Favorite characters?
We're still talking about Hermione.
Oh, okay. Thoughts
on those characters.
I mean, from what I know from the movies and everything, it's spot on. I mean, like... I know that they're not as layered.
It's funny because, like, as actors grew and became, sort of grew into sort of their, looks. Like, it's funny to go back and watch the movies and see like how frumpy they tried to play off Hermione and Ron early on.
Hermione had hair bigger than her head.
Well, the point, like in the books, like that was like thematic.
Ron was a little fat kid.
He was a little pudgy.
A little bit homey.
But
now he's all buff and shit.
Hermione, it's
a character trait in the books that like he had this giant mane of bushy hair. That's pretty much all you see of her.
Yeah.
But then like by the fourth book they actively fix that. They're like, third movie, let's get rid of that.
Let's get rid of that.
Yeah, this is terrible.
That's just,
but I mean from what I know,
it's
all
that buck teeth that they only dealt with.
Didn't Ron look like Pinocchio too, or something in the book?
They point out he has a big nose.
A big nose, yeah. It's like I'm a real boy. Yeah, so.
Like,
wow.
Contrasting the actors, Hermione in the books had buck teeth.
Yeah.
Something that they tried to do in the movies, They're trying to make a couple of scenes at the end of the movie where he has the buck teeth in his mouth.
Yeah.
But it didn't really work for with Emma doing it. The thing with Daniel Radcliffe and the green eye in the contact.
Apparently,
Daniel Radcliffe was allergic to the green eye contact. Yeah, they got rid of those.
And the buck teeth.
That's interesting.
And apparently, the buck teeth, because I did watch some of the special features on one of those afterwards, it just affected her ability to talk.
Yeah,
to
speak.
Yeah. So it just affected.
Didn't she, when she got cursed or what? She got hurt or something and she fixed it.
Yeah, in the books, they dealt with the bug teeth by someone cursed her with a spell that made her teeth continue to grow.
Yeah.
And when they went to fix it, she told the doctor, it's not ready yet. So until they became normal size. Normal people size.
And she stuck with it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, from the movies, they're not as layered as they are in the books, but they still have that core, this is a trait for each character.
Right.
And, I mean, Hermione always did come off as a bit naggy. And so I was always a bit annoyed by her. Like, she was kind of like that sister or that female best friend that you have that wouldn't shut up. And
are you talking about someone that we know?
No.
Okay.
But I was always a bit annoyed by her character, but I did respect her knowledge and how she was the most protective one of the group.
Right. It's one of the funny things of, like, when Hermione comes out of her shell and, like, does something and, like, okay, you're like, yeah. But then, like, when she opens her mouth and sort of mocks the other two for not being into, like, flirting as she is, like, shut up.
Yeah, yeah. She's so awesome. Socially
shut
awkward
the fuck up.
That she covers it up with her knowledge.
Yeah.
And it's very apparent that she's socially awkward when she actually opens up about it.
Right, yeah.
And Ron, I mean, Ron's a little bitchy sometimes. But
Ron, from a character standpoint, has the most to lose with anything that he does with Harry. Right. But the fact that he continually does it with Harry says a lot about his character.
Yeah,
his life is on track for the most part. It's like,
but the thing is, his family is the magical world.
Ron is
he have a normal life for the most part.
The most relatable character, in a way.
Because I guess Hermione and Ron sort of open up two different sort of, I guess, character traits of Harry. In that, like, Ron is, like, sort of that entry point, the everyman character, while Hermione is that sort of character, that your viewpoint character, who's just been entered into this world.
Yeah.
And you sort of get Harry in the mix of that.
Yeah.
And then, you have a thought?
Yeah, I mean, basically, they had a good classroom dynamic. It was, like, these distinctive characteristics of just, like, I mean, yeah, all right. Harry, he's just like that. He's basically supposed to be.
It's always funny when Harry will have a dumb idea, and those two will always be the first people to give him some, true facts.
Harry, this idea is stupid as fuck.
Sorry, new guy. No.
You must be new here.
He's supposed to be like Joe every kid, I guess, or something like that. You know, and that makes him really relatable.
You gotta have the whole, the quote-unquote holy trinity in a movie of characters that balance each other
Ed,
out.
Ed, ego, and super ego.
Yeah.
And Hermione, you know, she's a B at some time, a lot of the time, but you know what? That kind of works for him.
B as in the... Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you meant the bug and just like... Wow. Just really annoying.
She is really annoying.
Okay. It's funny because the book sort of the movie sort of betray, I guess, Ron and Hermione as sort of Harry's only friends. But as the books sort of grow, he does build a larger circle.
Yeah, Dean, yeah. Fred, and George.
Well, specifically,
Longbottom.
Specifically with characters I personally dub the new Marauders.
Yeah.
Ginny Weasley, Ron's younger sister, Luna Lovegood, and Neville Longbottom. It's funny because
Luna's weird. She is.
Luna Thank Lovegood you, Captain
is
Obvious.
My favorite character in the entire franchise.
Thank you, really? Captain
well,
Obvious.
Because.
Talk
about Luna as a character is that she was introduced in that fifth book while the other core characters already built this solid friendship, and she sort of not even wormed her way in, but accidentally came in ass backwards. Like, she just kind of showed up when they were hanging out, and then just kind of accepted her into the group, and it was like, cool. And it's like, with her character, she's exactly like Ron. She has no tact, but she's so in her own little world that everything she says is unintentionally hilarious.
Yeah.
Granted, she was younger, right?
Yes, she's Ginny's age, which is 1 year younger than Harry.
Yeah, so there's that. I guess it kind of felt. I guess that's the disposition that was I found kind of interesting, because Harry's no longer like the new kid on the block, or whatever like that. He's like there's. Yeah.
He's
and it's one of the things like
Bone Ron's sister.
we'll talk about that. So with her character, she sort of brought to this group with someone who at this point is, I guess, a celebrity.
Yeah.
And it doesn't phase her outside of...
It does not phase her one bit.
One bit. No. Like, there are literally characters that, as the series goes on, who literally bend over to, like, pray in front of Harry like he's Jesus. And she's like, oh, you're Harry Potter. You're cool.
I don't care.
And the actress that they picked to play her...
Perfect.
It's pitch perfect. She's probably the best casting in the entire franchise. Because if
fuck Cho Chang.
I've heard her talk in real life.
She was pretty.
Oh, my God.
I've heard her talk in real life, the Luna actress. She talks exactly like that.
She's very, like... monotone, but she's, like... Mm-hmm. You can tell she's just, like...
That's why it was relaxed. Even weirder to see those pictures of her glamorized and all, like... sexy pose. I was like, is that...
I don't feel comfortable about this. I don't feel comfortable about that with any of the characters.
And then you still feel like that with Hermione.
Yes, I have. I still feel dirty about it.
Wait, what?
What?
I still feel dirty about it. Like this scene,
I feel
there,
dirty, but it feels good to feel
dirty.
Wait,
what do you feel about?
About, like, this scene, like, because, like, Hermione. You're saying, like, these real world versions.
Yeah,
of
Hermione, I mean, good lord.
Hi.
And the Lord is good.
Anyway, so move on. Then there's Neville, who's been with Harry, Ron, and Hermione since the first book.
Yeah.
Neville has a sad story.
Neville Ricardo.
Neville, the character, is sort of Harry's sort of counterpart.
Yeah.
He is.
That sucks about how do you say her name?
What?
Bellatrix.
Bellatrix Lestrange.
Bellatrix tortured and killed his...
Neville's origin is that.
His grandmother was militant.
When Voldemort learned his prophecy that made him go up to Harry, there was another option. Neville's family. And he chose to go after Harry, which has always left Neville as the other character.
Yeah.
And he was a character that J.K. Rowling originally had no real plans for. Like, she had that backstory for.
He was supposed to be, like, a buffoon or something like that?
Not really. He just wanted to be, like, sort of like how Seamus ends up being in the end. Like, sort of one of the characters in the background. But, like, as he started exploring those aspects of his character...
Fans kind of...
And fans fell in love with him. Not with the fans, like, she felt as a writer that she should explore Neville outside of Dean Thomas, who was originally going to be in that Neville role.
It just seemed like weird that he waited.
But then he was black.
There are some forced implications of that, but I don't think they're true.
Yeah. I mean, his name is Neville. Like, I don't know. It's just like,
and Neville's a defining character.
Was I wrong?
And Neville's like, Neville's had the biggest transformation of any of the characters.
He
lost a shitload of weight.
Not so much a dimwit, just someone who's overtly shy and accident prone.
Yeah, and
like Neville's a character where the world conspires against him.
But he kind of becomes a hero.
He eventually becomes that
bumbling
hero.
He proves that he becomes
capable. Fight someone? Like, he duels someone and he kicked their ass.
Well, like, his evolution, like, the first book, he's like the slow kid.
Yeah.
He's a Gryffindor in first year. Second book.
What?
You don't see, the second and third book, you really don't see much of him. But it's like the fourth book, where it's like he sort of comes out of his shell. And the fifth book is where Neville comes out and, like, you guys are my closest friends. I mean, I have a giant stake in this war as much as you do, because I sort of want vengeance against the deputies and what they did to my family.
Yeah.
And so he just sort of becomes this character. So at, like, the end of the seventh book, where, like, they have to go back to Hogwarts, and, like, they have no idea what's going on, and he shows up, and he's been, like, this John Connor's, like, resistance fighter.
It's because his grandmother was an Aurora also?
No, she was just, like, a really tough old lady.
Old
ladies tough.
Yep.
There was that this joke that, like, the Aurors came after his grandma.
And they did not succeed.
She beat all of them and then left.
They did not succeed.
Let me introduce y'all to my broom. Like, Neville's going up there. It is.
Expelliarmus. He kills everyone.
It's like, I'm going to expel your arms from your body.
And then there's Ginny Weasley, who is... We're introduced in the first book as sort of Ron's sister, who reacts to Harry Potter like any normal person would.
Oh, my God.
Any normal person in the magical world. But she's a little girl, so she's like...
She starts drooling all over the place.
And then
hump your leg.
And in the second movie, like, the second book, she's sort of blindsided by the fact that Harry's become a part of the Weasley family to a certain extent because Ron is best friends with him.
Incest.
That's weird.
In the morning.
And then she becomes this big part of the plot of that second movie and how, like, her sort of unrequited feelings for Harry combined with being unsure of herself as a person, all that becomes a big plot, like, of that second book and second movie.
Chamber of Secrets, yep.
Chamber of Secrets. And then,
writing in Tom Riddle's diary.
And then she sort of falls... into the background of the franchise.
Back burner.
To come back later.
And then something happens.
Let's
And then she's like randomly starts hanging out with Harry like a normal thing. Like, and like from further reading it, I'm like, okay, Ginny, I'll move on. It always felt weird at the back of my head.
She's got her hands in his back pocket. I'm pretty sure that happened. I don't know.
Yeah, I think
wizards have pockets.
Yes, yeah. They mention how they stick their wands in their pockets all the time.
Yeah.
They can have giant lion eagles, but they can't have pockets.
Nope.
Get out. get out now. That is called logic.
Hand
error.
Technology can go only but so far.
I can make water out of thin air, but I can't.
Well, the books are like, we'll talk. This is something we should talk about when we talk about the movies. The books that portray their fashion, as in everyone just wears robes. The movie
or
had
the men wizards when they're on downtime.
Well, yeah, like after a while, they just after a while they start actually wearing human clothes.
Yeah,
like start shopping at Abercrombie and Fitch. Abercrombie
and Fitch. Emma starts shopping at Abercrombie. Ron shops in his mom's basement.
Hand me down.
Friend George gives stuff.
Those
assholes.
Brothers
they're
are crazy.
Awesome.
Yeah, they are. And then so Ginny comes back, and she's sort of like this. She was always this shy little girl. Then she shows up out of nowhere, this sort of confident and sort of
sassy and independent.
Is she really? Because I don't get that. I'm sorry. I'm still creeped out by her in the movies.
That's the movie. Well, the books paint a better picture of her.
Oh, okay.
Just
good.
Always showing up in
good.
Frame.
Because.
Were you against
now,
Harry?
Because against Hermione, who doesn't necessarily have that much personality. Of course, I'm speaking from the movies again. Necessarily.
Which is not overacting.
Which Jenny just kind of freaks. Sorry.
This is a book kind of way.
Yeah, the book
sort of layer in subconsciously that Jenny and Harry could be together. And they also layer in that Harry and Hermione are friends. The movie, however, layer in that Harry and Hermione could be together.
Yeah.
And do a creepy stalkerish thing with Ginny.
Yeah, Ginny is weird in the movies.
That's why.
It's like,
I'm like, But back anyway, please.
But back to her book incarnation, she's played by Bonnie Wright and in the movies. But back
she's
to her
awkward
book,
looking.
She's a very handsome British woman.
Oh, shit.
Not even being mean. Like,
handsome British.
No, I'm not even being mean.
We've been over this before. What are you talking about?
She's not ugly.
She's not ugly. But
she's
like,
handsome.
She's not Emma Watson hot.
She's got a strong face.
But she's
attractive.
Yeah, she's got that.
I felt that in my gut.
Let's move on.
Moving on.
Go ahead.
Never gonna turn my
It's lost on. It's lost on them.
I get what you mean.
We've said this before. Like J.K. Rowling subconsciously placing Ginny as sort of a perfect counterpart to Harry.
Yeah.
And like it was like one of those subtle things, like when Harry started dating Cho Chang, like every time there was a Quidditch match.
Did anybody like Cho Chang?
Look, everything that happened bad in the books was because of Cho Chang.
It's like, she was like my counterpart to like Knives Chow, basically, as far as girlfriends are concerned. I'm just like, I don't like any of
I love Knives.
I know. She did the opposite.
But like, the thing is, like, when every time there was a Quidditch match between Ravenclaw and Gryffindor, Harry tended to not be able to play through various reasons, so Ginny would always have to sub in for him as a seeker. And every time that it would be Ravenclaw versus Gryffindor, Ginny would always beat Cho. Always. And so that was the JK's thing, Ginny's a better girl. Yeah. And like they come out of the way, and like there's a like I never really thought of Ginny as in that romantic way. And I didn't at this point in the books, like she and Harry were just friends. They were just friends. And then
are they ever just friends?
And then the sixth book happened, and Harry got that random thought, like, every time I see her, a lion roars in my chest. And I was like, really?
What is that even?
Wow.
It just came out of nowhere.
And then, like,
it's like a big, sexy shark.
And, like, Ginny had already moved on. She was dating other people. She was, like, really popular. And, like, so it was, like, one of those weird things, like, whoa,
getting
Harry.
Getting finger banged by the Dean twins.
Whoa, Harry, where did this come from?
Wow.
This is new. Wow. And then, like, as they explore that relationship through that book, it becomes apparent that, like, this whole Ginny sort of transformation into this confident young woman. Because Hermione told her when, like, they were girls that, like, if you're really interested in Harry, stop trying so hard.
Yeah.
Damn.
Like, just
turn it down a notch.
Turn it down a notch. And that's what she did. She came to him as a friend.
Yeah. Pop off his wand.
Yeah. Jeff.
And she saw.
Get off that broom.
And she saw.
Don't jump the broom.
Want to see what I can do with the broom?
Oh, yeah.
When she became an independent woman, that's the first time he saw her as a woman and not.
Shout out to Beyonce.
Who run the world? Who run the world? Witches.
No.
No. No, they don't.
If you like, you should put a Horcrux on it.
No.
Get out.
Nobody wants that.
No.
Part of your soul.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, marriage is like losing a part of yours.
Yeah. Those are sort of core characters. There's still a lot more characters that we can talk about. Yeah. We'll come back and do it. But we're going to take a quick break, collect our thoughts, stop talking about Beyonce, and her hanging out with the Lace Twins.
Oh my god! I swallowed my gum.
It's like in the seventh book where they go to Luna's house and they go to her room and on her ceiling is pictures of all five of them, but underneath it linked in like gold hearts and stuff, friends. As someone reading the book, my heart kind of melted because that was just like how vulnerable Luna is as a character. They hint at like
not
smile. Like Alan from The Hangover.
In the books, they sort of hint at the character that
Joy over
doesn't like. Not like she's a horrible person, but she's just so weird that no one takes her seriously.
Yeah.
And so,
then you find out she's a person.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm. They build her in such a way. They build her in such a way that's like that could very easily come off like serial killer, like, you know what I mean? But like, it really comes to the point
like taking lives.
Exactly. It's like I didn't come in thinking like Zodiac killer. Like, no, I didn't come
in. Like in the sixth book, after Harry's become this like celebrity character, people like finally on his wand for what happened with Voldemort in the last book. Like, people go up to him. Harry sits down. Hermione and Ron end up becoming prefects at some point, so they couldn't hang out with him as much anymore. And so in the beginning of the book, he's hanging out with Neville and Luna.
Right.
And those two characters are, like, the losers. And, like, other people come in, like, oh, Harry, you don't have to sit with these people anymore. You can come hang out with us. He's like, these are my friends. What's wrong with you people?
Yeah. Fuck you guys.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, on those six characters sort of represent, sort of, I guess, the core good of like the younger generation of the Harry Potter series.
The goodness.
On the opposite standpoint is Draco Malfoy, who has become
Harry Potter,
who's become from the movies.
He's like Gary Oak, basically.
He's the Gary Oak of the movies.
He's become from the movies one of the most popular characters in the franchise, probably eclipsing Harry himself, especially in the fangirl community.
Oh, that's because goddamn silver hair.
Fangirls are just...
And that suit.
The worst kind of
they like...
Quote, every woman's crazy about a sharp dress,
Draco Malfoy, the character, he's also very three-dimensional, the character. Like, he eventually shows up as this sort of braggart, this like, racist character, like, ah, I'm better than you, I've got money.
And I'm pure blood, and you're a mud blood.
Oh, my bad.
My hair's
but
white.
Then, like, as the layers of his character start getting exposed, like how his dad treats him, and he's just sort of projecting his father's views, as he starts getting drawn,
he just wants to please his father.
He starts getting drawn into like the world of the Death Eaters and Voldemort, and he starts becoming unstable.
Yeah, because I have to pause for a minute
in the sixth. Movie in the sixth book.
Yeah,
Draco literally he finds Harry on the floor and just like stomps him out.
Yeah,
stomps his face out
and like
stomp him in the nuts.
And then like
stomp him in the nuts.
And as his character regresses, you can tell that he's gotten in too deep.
He's lost.
Like he's lost.
Exactly.
It's like
that's how I feel.
I mean, that's what happens when you get too much power too early.
I mean, there's a point in which I genuinely
thought he cracked under the pressure.
Yeah, there's a point in which I genuinely thought because some of the books have been like. Metaphors for like, allegories for like, Nazi concentration of like certain cities. I mean, there's a point
especially
where, like,
the
book. Especially there's like, this guy does seem very Aryan. And I'm like, I'm worried. Yeah.
They openly point out his entire family platinum blonde.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm just like, do not let this kid find an Asian kid in this school because they were.
Inbreeding!
That's why Cho Chang is gone.
Yeah, I was just like, yo, Lord.
So, that's called a good loss.
But it's like, yeah, but he does build up that kind of. He does build up in a better way than, like, you know, we always see like, teen romantic comedies where just like he's the bad boy with a heart of gold. It's like, he doesn't have a heart of gold.
He's that quote unquote bad boy character who eventually over time becomes like, I'm so misunderstood.
Yeah.
But like, you're misunderstood, but you're still
he's Zuko.
Monster. You're an a hole. Like, he's Bender. Breakfast Club.
He's
messed up. Like, he's got dad issues.
He's like a victim of circumstance. But
not in the Curly Joe kind of way.
He's Zuko without the scar.
Yeah, he's not really a villain as just
an a-hole.
Really messed up.
Yeah. Really messed up.
He's an a-hole.
Because that part when he was like broke down in the bathroom, I had to pause for a minute because I had my view of him the whole time and I haven't read the books. I was like,
where did this come from?
Wait a minute, Bradley, what's happening? Because he and I were watching. I'm like, is he human, right? He don't know what he's gotten himself into. I mean, this is kind of three-dimensional and real and crap. And I was like, wow.
And then
I thought it was kind of deep.
But the sort of younger, and the character Harry identifies the most with the Weasley family, Ron's family, and you got the father,
Fred, George, Bill,
Charlie,
Percy, Charlie.
They're like the freaking like
Arthur and Molly.
Arthur and Molly as mom and dad.
And then there's Maud. I mean,
I wish you guys could see what happened because it was like they did the YMCA.
Yeah.
Hey man, the Weasley family makes you want to get up and dance.
They rolled pretty deep. I mean,
they rolled deep and it felt good.
The Weasley family made me hate my own family.
They are clearly.
I will shake on that.
Like, especially the parents.
I thought they were going to have a bus and start singing at one point.
This is not Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
It's like the Parker family. They did have a flying car.
Son of a bitch, it is Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
We just need a candy factory. Perfect.
What's funny about the Weasley, like, especially the mother and father, is that, like they are the type of family that Harry should have been raised by.
I remember you talking about that.
It becomes so apparent as Harry becomes part of their family almost immediately. Like, when he first meets Molly Weasley at the train, when he doesn't know how to get to Hogwarts.
He just walks straight into the wall.
Like, hey, sir, do you know where Platinum 13 and 3... I forgot what it is.
9 and 3 quarters.
9 and 3 quarters is. He's like, what the hell are you talking about? And, like, Molly sees him, like, oh, you're Harry Potter. Ooh, you need some help, son? I'm like, oh. And, like, he's so nice. And then, like, her nicety becomes a problem. Like, she can't turn off the mom.
She's one of those everyone's mom.
She's everyone's mom, man.
Yeah, she's like, she can't turn off the mom. So she becomes really emotionally...
Attached to
Harry.
Big time.
Like,
but also, a lot of people in the magical world knew the fact that Harry lost his parents, so she kind of that maternity is quite there.
Like, and then Mr. Weasley becomes this, like, sort of, I guess,
surrogate father.
To a certain extent, he doesn't end up becoming close with Harry to some other character later on, but he's always that sort of father figure,
at least an uncle.
Uncle.
He's a really good voice for reason.
Like an uncle or a coach, something. Yeah. So
we can't call Dumbledore.
Mr. Weasley also has because Mr. Weasley. Job is to investigate Muggle artifacts in the magical world.
Yeah. We
always get those moments in Mr. Weasley's life when he talks to Harry. It's like, can you tell me how a resistor works?
Harry, what is this? It's a pen.
What's it do?
It's like a quill,
except
it has the ink inside of it. These Muggles think of everything.
Yo, we didn't know he was like so fascinated. Harriet kind of like was amused by that because they could sit down and talk about stuff. Yeah. He had a collection of plugs. Yeah.
What is this thing you run through your hair?
A comb.
Oh!
Bully!
That's brilliant!
Like, back to Molly Weasley and her over motherly thing. Like, toward the end of the series, like, her family constantly being in danger does a lot to her as a person. Uh-huh. To the point where, like, one of the best moments in the last book is her dealing with some of those issues. Joey knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it because it's going to be a big part of this movie. The last movie if they keep it in. Uh-huh. And then through the Weasleys, we have sort of, not some a grandfather figure to Harry, a mentor figure, Albus Dumbledore.
Oh, yeah. Good old Dumbly.
Who?
Hey, another Dumbly. Name. A lot of people are like, Dumbledore?
Spanish? Dumbledore!
Dumbledore's no accent.
No one told me he dies. I was crushed.
Really? 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 Really?
Really? Really? Really? Really? Really?
Yes.
Yes, he is.
He is new.
I am new.
I know.
Snape is hiding under the thing, and he's like, shh, it's okay here. I'm like, oh, okay. Snape's a really bad guy. He's going to go up there. Hand up.
Avada Kedavra.
Double doors falling on slow motion. I'm like, why?
Curse you, Hans Gruber.
Dumbledore's always been this weird character in that.
He's portrayed by somebody else each time.
He's only been portrayed by two actors. The first time, it was an actor.
I didn't know that was... what's his name? Richard Harris?
Yes.
I didn't know that was
Rest in peace to the original.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, the character, Dumbledore, has always portrayed himself as this. He's the sort of like.
He's aloof.
Like, this is going back to Buffy.
Scary.
Is that like, they've always had this character called the Big Bad. And like, they've always, if you have a Big Bad, you always have to have a Big Good.
Yep.
And so with Voldemort always being portrayed as this Big Bad character in the franchise, Dumbledore was the exact opposite. And people treated him with the respect that deserved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He kind of became like.
The weird thing is, even though people were treating him with respect, they feared him in a sense because he was literally... Nobody knew how old he was. Nobody knew how powerful he truly was.
An
idea.
An idea. No one had an idea of how powerful he was.
Imagine a conversation between Dumbledore and Gandalf.
That was my original problem of like...
He was fucking awesome.
Dumbledore was a character of like, is this just Gandalf?
He's Gandalf.
You know what? I actually...
Except Gandalf's kind of more of an asshole.
I thought about it. I actually, having watched... the movies, and then all I have to do is read the books, and it'll be better. I actually would have rather have been a, no pun intended, student or pupil or friend of Dumbledore, considering how much time.
Then
Gandalf. I mean, because on the
Dumbledore one, was aloof and caring. Gandalf was aloof and nigga, fuck you.
The thing about
because Gandalf would like disappear for like 50 years.
Yeah, of course the nerds had like.
What up, bitch? Yeah. Defeating the Balrog.
You don't shut up. But Dumbledore like stuck
lol,
with you.
Defeating
like,
the Balrog in hell. Texted
Dumbledore like touching the character before I got interrupted. Before Dumbledore was a character. He's master manipulator. Like he sort of inserts himself into Harry's life and manipulates his entire. Adolescence to
get
create
to him
the Harry
and
Potter
him
that
into telling
we
you the
see
truth about
now
today.
Today,
that's
like,
kind of crazy.
It's funny, like Dumbledore. Like, there's always been this weird trust between the two characters, and at the end of every book, Dumbledore would have to sit Harry down and explain the facts of life to him.
I'm sorry, I made you do this.
And like, it was always
now when a man loves a woman,
it was always this thing where like, Dumbledore, you could have told me all this before, and it's like, you weren't ready.
Yeah.
It's like...
I woulda, shoulda, coulda.
And like, Harry... Their relationship becomes so close that Harry's the only person who will blatantly just disrespect Dumbledore.
Man, Dumbledore, a bitch nigga.
Man, like, Dumbledore!
There are scenes in the
shut
book...
Up.
Sit on this wall!
There are scenes in the book where Harry goes to his office and just breaks everything.
Dang.
Like, for real, though?
Like,
real.
He's so angry and so, like, scarred by what's happened to him at the end of that book.
He
goes into his office.
Okay, you know, you're right. He does do that in the movies. I don't know, so it's like, it reminds me of, in Legend of Zelda, where I go into a room and there's nothing but pots all over the place.
I need something to flip over.
The rage seems kind of, like, misdirected, and even at times out of nowhere, but I'm just like, you know, child and rage, what are you going to do?
Dumbledore, as his big good, builds his own big good organization,
right.
The Order of the Phoenix.
Yes.
Who become a big part of the Harry Potter. Like, their characters are in the background of all the first four books.
Right.
But become active characters in this, quote unquote, magical war
once
that Order of the Phoenix book comes out.
Sound off.
The Phoenix.
Well, there's a lot of members of the Order. There's
the main
players, the Professor
Nymphadora Tonks. Uh-huh.
Nymphadora Tonks, Remus Lupin, Sirius Black.
Sirius.
Sirius Nick.
No one told me he died either.
Kingsley Shacklebolt.
Good God.
And there's a lot of other members.
Mundungus Fletcher.
Mundungus. Aberfroth. Dumbledore. Bot's little brother.
Bot Ivers.
Hagrid.
I don't know.
John Jacob Jingleheimer.
Hey, stop making fun of old English names.
I'm sorry.
Good job, Josiah.
Yeah.
I'm in the book.
I'm
what?
What?
No, there's a character named Avery.
Yeah, there is one.
Though he is a villain, which is very unsettling.
Oh.
Did you say unsettling?
Unsettling.
Unsettling.
Upsettling. I like that.
Branded!
Yeah, it's a good portmanteau. Upset and unsettling. I like it.
And then the Order of the Phoenix, like, as much as the Weasley become Harry's like second family, the Order becomes sort of his, I guess, like...
Guardians.
Exactly.
Legal. Yeah.
So the Order of the Phoenix is the Wu-Tang Clan.
They ain't nothing to fuck with.
Kind of. I can see that.
They ain't nothing to fuck with, though.
Their symbol is a dove.
No, wait. Out of curiosity, is Bill part of the Order?
Yes, all the Weasleys. All the Weasleys are
members eventually become part of the Order.
Except for Ginny, because he was
too young. Then Fleur Delacour becomes part of the Order because she's sucking Bill's.
Is it Delacour?
Delacour. Wait, what?
Delacour.
Who's
The half villain.
The girl from the fourth movie, the blonde. She comes out dancing.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought you were talking about the pink lady for some odd reason. She's clearly a Death Eater, so. Yeah, I don't know why I. Yeah.
She was the character that Stephen King told said was one of the most evil characters of all time.
She was. It's just like, okay, no sitting
she
together.
She actually made it hard for me to watch that movie. She acted that so well. It was a
lot for me to watch. If you read the book, you will really
like, okay. I've heard
the movie sort of downplay how evil her character ends up being.
But I hated her.
I hated her.
She makes that fifth book nearly unbearable to read. It's like,
she made it hard for me to almost watch.
I'm like, god damn it. Can someone just hurry up and kill her, please?
And hit her in the head.
And explain one more time, what is the Order of the Phoenix again?
Well, the Order of the Phoenix was during wartime, they were Dumbledore's, I guess, paramilitary, lack of a better word, para-wizardry.
That was Dumbledore's secret black ops unit.
Gotcha, yeah, okay. To deal with the Death Eaters. Like, the Ministry can only the Ministry of Magic. They can only do so much. They do what can't be done
by the public eye.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
And specifically, Sirius Black and Remus Lupin, two parts of Harry's father's old organization, the Marauders, become big parts in Harry's life. Like Remus Lupin is a character that J.K. Rowling has openly said was her favorite. Like, she based him off her favorite teacher growing up.
Nice.
Remus Lupin.
And Sirius,
I liked him though.
And Sirius, the person,
I liked him.
Yeah, because he's that reasonable authority figure.
Yeah.
The person that you respect.
Dr. Jekyll, yeah. Mr. Hyde.
It's like he's not
true.
He's
a tortured man. Yeah, he respect was. Him. But he always knows what's right.
Yeah.
Well, the seven books kind of
paint
him dirty.
The
seven books sort of paint him dirty.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some weird romance stuff going on that I was never really a fan of.
Oh dear.
Him and Tonks.
Yeah.
That always kind of upset
me. That was weird.
But not upset me. But I just didn't.
Hey, at least Tonks is hot.
Yeah. And then with Sirius, it's like Sirius with Harry's father's best friend.
No one told me he died.
And he sort of projects onto Harry his old relationship with James. So rather than become a father figure, he becomes this older brother figure.
He's Harry's only living connection to his actual family.
Yeah.
And when he dies,
everybody
in the theater was just like,
ugh. Everybody was upset.
The way he died
in
the books was so ambiguous.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, what happened? He fell through the what now? But the movies, they went straight up.
Yeah,
he died.
She's gone. In the books,
I told you he did.
Like, in the books, he was hit by some unidentifiable spell and then fell backwards through the veil. It was like, in the books, it was like this weird slow motion. Harry could see him fall, but he couldn't do anything.
Because they love fallen deaths in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
In the movies, it was like, I'm out of Kadabra, then I fall through the veil and disappear.
How many blacks are there, like, in this family or whatever? Like,
the blacks are basically one of the oldest
family.
Okay. The blacks are the purest wizard bloodline in the wizard.
Well, they make a point in the fifth book that pretty much every pureblood wizard is related to everyone else.
Okay, all right.
It's basically just
inbreeding. So, like, Ron Weasley is related to Draco Malfoy.
Yeah, I did
by some weird chance, yeah.
I don't know if I'm.
Every purebred wizarding family is related to every other purebred wizarding family.
Am I
jumping ahead? But I thought I read somewhere that Harry and Voldemort are actually family.
Yes, they are.
Wait, what?
Harry and Voldemort?
Yes.
Yeah, Harry and Voldemort.
What, beyond the link thing?
I saw it on Wiki. It was family tree.
I wouldn't even put that past them. I mean, it would just only add more to their family.
It's messed up in it.
And then, like, okay, we've talked a lot about the good characters. Let's briefly touch on some of the bad characters.
Oh, yeah. We spoke about Malfoy.
Before we talk about the movies and the books themselves. With the villains, there's always Lord Voldemort in the forefront. And he's been, like, what's interesting about Voldemort and what I love about the structure of the book is that he's been this, like, he was dead at the beginning of the series.
Yeah.
But he's always been
fucking
this
zombie.
Omnipresent threat throughout the entire series.
He is the first villain I've ever heard of that will strike fear into you without to the point you can't even say his name.
Yeah. Like, that was one of the interesting things with characters.
He who
like,
would not
like
be named.
His name was like, he was like Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty. Sleeping Beauty. Like,
yeah.
He was so taboo that saying his name just like, it was a curse word.
It's like, yeah. So.
Like Barbra Streisand.
Whoa, hey now, that was not necessary.
I'll call for it, man.
You apologize to my sister.
I know. Wash your mouth out with soap.
You eat a bag of dicks.
Now that is, now
that's
that
what you need the soap for. I'm sorry.
But you know, what ended up with Voldemort's character, he's like, and as a character, with JK having a lot of time and a lot of pages to explore his character, he became a three-dimensional character in itself.
Yeah.
He's a three-dimensional character with a one-dimensional motivation.
And a one-dimensional
face. I'm just going to kill everything.
That's interesting. Very clear and present motive.
Yeah, and yeah. He also
served
sort of, I guess, an opposite to Harry through, like, it's funny because, like, when Voldemort was supposed to choose, when he was given the prophecy that told him that, like, someone would be a threat to him in his rise to power, there are two families that could work. There was a family where one was Muggle-born and one was a pure-blood wizard, and then there was a family where two pure-blood wizards. And he chose the one that was where the Muggle-born was involved because it reflected him as a person, and he felt that whatever child would be born from this would be like him, a threat.
Half-blood prince. Yep.
Well,
that was Snape. I mean, but like
his origins are that like
he was born of a Muggle.
His father was a very very handsome and vain man, and his mother an witch. Inbred girl who. That's something they don't show in the movie, but an inbred girl who was sort of.
I thought it was pretty dark.
Not right.
See,
fell in love with him and then sort of used magic to rape him for a child.
Okay, now Avery, you know how I feel about Fam Ramen, but.
What was that word?
What?
Should we take a break?
No, I want you to explain what fan ramming is.
No!
Fan ramming is my... It's the way I like to portray
it's
incest.
It's the PBS word for incest.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Well, the explanation is that...
Suppressed memories.
Like you said, with pure-blood wizards, every pure-blood wizard is sort of related to each other through some... way.
You my cousin? Let's fuck.
And no, specifically with her family, they're a direct descendants of one of the founders of Hogwarts.
Yeah.
And so they keep that bloodline pure, they flag for the word inbred.
Yeah. Shit.
You want to think?
I have never heard that.
Voldemort's mother was so flattered and so in love with his father. That she sort of manipulated him into loving her artificially.
So okay, so it's like ancient Greek kind of level stuff, basically.
Like she used magic to like manipulate his mind, and then when she felt that he might love her back, she took it off, and he immediately decided to abandon her and the child, and she sort of died heartbroken.
Yeah,
and leaving Voldemort to an orphanage.
I read that. Yeah.
So like Harry himself, Voldemort grew up an orphan.
Right.
And unlike Harry. Like, the orphanage he went to wasn't, like, an evil orphanage. It wasn't, like, Oliver Twist.
Right.
It was, like, a place where,
can I have some ore?
Here's some ore!
Cretaceous!
It was one of those places where it was unfortunate circumstances, but they took care of them.
Right, right.
But for him, he always felt off. As a young boy growing up, he always felt off. Like, he was thinking better than everyone.
I was a young warthog.
Like,
it was a young warthog.
When Harry was introduced to magic, he was like, whoa, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm interested. I want to know more. Yada yada. Well, with Voldemort, when he was interested in magic, that explains a lot.
I always knew
I was better than all of these people.
Oh gosh, thank you. I was like, it all makes sense now.
Like when he was a kid, he always kind of reminded me of Magneto.
Yeah, he really is kind of Magneto. He's just if you took Magneto to like the extreme. That's
to me, what's kind of refreshing about his character is the fact that usually when there's villains, especially movie villains that are kind of fleshed out, they have kind of a very complicated motive. Like there's so much behind it.
I'm doing
whereas
this
one
this
is kind of like,
this.
Yeah,
he's Hitler.
Exactly,
he's Hitler.
Yeah,
but it's refreshing that's his magic only Hitler. Motive, and that's what he wants. And he's going
like,
to
he
have.
He wants to eliminate all Muggles. Like, yeah. He wants the pure blood.
So he's magic Hitler.
It's a very clear cleansing process. Yeah. Of genocide.
I know. I'm always laughing at
genocide. And plus, he's just creepy as well. I'm just like, just play him.
He's taken magic to such a dark place that there's no recovery.
Right.
Yeah.
The man splits his soul.
Into seven.
Yeah, that's
eight.
Deep.
I've never really gotten that down. Seven.
Is it?
It may be eight. Harry's the last four. So I think it's eight.
Yeah, it's eight.
Oh, okay, then.
I didn't know that.
Oh, fuck.
Spoiler.
It's cool. Oh. I even like his personality, actually. He's not like...
Voldemort, not like, he's Voldemort. Evil in the sense that it's like looking at like the ocean at night.
He's not evil.
Yeah,
he's
like, it's like looking at the ocean at night.
Oh,
it's really weird and foreboding.
He's convinced he's not evil.
I'm doing it for the betterment of the world.
And you just happen to be in my way.
Yeah.
So about a cadaver.
But that's funny about Voldemort's character is that he sort of has Megatron's bad PR, where he will blatantly just murder subordinates and treat people like they're nothing.
Intern, where's my coffee?
But people still
this sucks.
People still follow him out of shared ideals or fear.
Right.
Fear, and the majority of time.
And that's what one of the things that eventually spells his downfall.
Right.
Is that the fact that he didn't treat his subordinates with like. Love and care, like Dumbledore treated all the people under him like they were
children,
his family.
Their family, yeah. And to that end, even after Dumbledore eventually dies, they still fight after him.
They still try to defend Hogwarts.
With Voldemort, when he died,
that's true.
Every one of his a good majority of his
death. What about this bitch?
Jumped ship and said like he was manipulating us. We weren't under.
What's that? Does that rate?
Yeah.
Like there were still the crazies who still believed that.
Yeah.
It was like
because those people were.
And
fucking nuts.
But for the most part, like, every time he fell, no one came to his aid.
Right.
How does he view
magic? Starscream, help me! Fuck that!
Because Bradley pointed out something, it's really subtle, but I thought it was interesting, so I thought you might have something to say about it. He always kind of, it's weird, but it's kind of strange how he handles his wand.
He handles it like...
It's gingerly.
No, notice like when he handles his wand, everyone else handles their wand like it's a part of them.
Yeah.
He handles it like, fuck, I have to use this. I don't need this.
It's an instrument.
Yeah, like a baton or something. I wasn't sure if there's any significance to that.
It
makes sense.
It's the Umbrella Academy.
I mean, I think that's kind of like a kind of a little nuance.
Yeah, a little personality.
Doesn't have to be noticed, but if you notice it, just adds to it.
Ralph Fiennes is just like, man. Like, a character that just, like, embodies...
It's like liquid evil.
Like, something about it, like... Just
one of my favorite scenes in the Harry Potter movies is that fifth movie where, like, Harry is walking down the, like, the train station.
You were in my head again.
You see Voldemort
saying
that's
exactly what I was thinking.
And he's like, cracking his neck.
He's, like, in a suit.
And he's in a suit.
Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
It's like,
Voldemort in a suit is badass.
Yeah, it is.
Fuck.
It is.
You know what's even scarier? The fact that all these people gotta use brooms and Voldemort's like, nah, nigga, I'm coming.
That's something we'll talk about because that was one of my biggest problems with the movies.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We're gonna take another break and then we're gonna come back and we're gonna talk about the books and the movies and sort of the world of Harry Potter.
And why Voldemort's scary as fuck!
Yeah, more fam running after these messages.
I